This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Families have a lot going on. Let Ollie help manage the mental load with new cognitive health supplements for everyone 4 and up, like delicious Ollie Focus Pops or Ollie Mellow Pops for kids. And for parents, try 3 new Brainy Chews to help you focus, chill out, or get energized. Find these cognitive health buddies for the whole fam at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Hello, everybody. I am Louise Eddington. I am the Cosmic Owl of Cosmic Owl Astrology. And welcome to my podcast for the Pisces new moon that's on March the 10th, 2024. And it's the last new moon before we head into the eclipse season. We have a lunar eclipse at the end of March, and then we have a big solar eclipse on April the 8th. And of course, I'll be doing podcasts on those. But before I dive in further and start talking about what this new moon is all about, I would like to ask you to subscribe to my channel, give me a thumbs up, leave me a comment. It all helps with YouTube's, you know, helping me be seen, helping the podcast grow, helping the video grow. But I would like to let you know that this is also available on Spotify and everywhere else where you listen to podcasts. Spotify does video podcasts now, for example. So this will be uploaded to all of those places so you can listen where you like. But if you want to see the video and the charts, YouTube or Spotify are the places to go. So I prefer YouTube, but that's just me. All right. And there will be an unedited transcript available in the description for you. There's also links to follow me elsewhere. I blog daily on Substack. I do an astro weather forecast every day on Substack. So follow me there too. Now, the first thing I usually do, and I'm going to do that now, is pull a card for this new moon. And I am using the Tree Devia tarot deck again. And just look at this, you know, this beautiful artwork. It's all gold and shiny and very beautiful. And let me show you the back of the cards too. I love the back of the design. These cards just feel nicer and nicer the more I work with them. And it's nice to see some of you have bought yourselves the deck. There's actually a discount code for you to order the deck with 10% off with my link in the description. So if you like tarot and want these cards, then go ahead and buy yourself that. So the card that I pulled for this new moon at 20 Pisces is the Knight of Wands, which is actually fire. However, I'm going to read the deck, the book for you for this deck. I want you to have a look at it. The only trouble is with these cards is they're so shiny that sometimes it's hard to focus. But you can have a good look into this if you like. There's the moon at the bottom for the new moon, that lovely star at the top. And this card is card 12. Okay. Knight of Wands. You are enthusiastic and ready to take action and make your plans come true. You have magnetic energy that is attractive to others, and your charm is irresistible. You are a free spirit, ready to make some drastic changes, such as moving to a different country or traveling far away in the pursuit of your happiness. Your courage will pay off. Keep moving. And the affirmation with this card is, I am brave and ready to take action towards achieving my dreams. Now, I don't necessarily know about moving and traveling far. I think this could be more astral travel, but it depends where this new moon really falls in your chart, because it is a very dream oriented new moon in so many ways. Okay, it's just kind of huge. So let's have a look at the astrology. But before I do, I'm just gonna because I'm recording this on Tuesday, the 27th of March. So I'm actually going to put up the calendar for March while we do this. Look at that beautiful picture from She Who Is. I'm not an affiliate or anything for She Who Is Art on Etsy, but I just love her art, hence Hecate and her calendar every year. But look at this for Pisces energy, this energy of like worshipping and in nature and worshipping the sun. So let's have a look at the chart for the new moon and tell you what we'll be looking at and talking about. Okay, so we have this new moon. It's on March the 10th, 2024, and it's at 20 degrees Pisces. Now, this is a very Piscean new moon. Oh, I've shared the wrong link. I just want to share. Bear with me. Sorry about that. I want to share actually my annotated version. So here's for some reason my highlighter would not highlight these bits, but you can see that on this new moon, this Pisces new moon, Venus and Mars are still in Aquarius. They had their conjunction back at six Aquarius a few days ago as I record this. Chariclo, Chiron's wife, is still in Aquarius, and Pluto is in Aquarius. As you probably know, Pluto is pretty much now in Aquarius. He's going to dip back into Capricorn briefly from September the 1st, 2024, to November the 19th, and then for 20 years, Pluto will be in Aquarius. But the Aquarius vibe is lessening because as of this new moon, the sun is in Pisces. Mercury has whizzed through the sign of Pisces. The moon's in Pisces. And then we have Saturn, and Neptune in Pisces still. And we also have Nessus, Centaur Nessus in Pisces, which I'll be looking at, and asteroid Hygieia. So I'm going to talk about all of that and all those bits, what they mean. But this new moon is pretty much square to Vesta in Gemini. Vesta has been in the sign of Gemini for quite a while and did actually retrograde back into the sign of Gemini from the sign, sorry about that. Sorry, I'm just like, what? Where am I? From the sign of Cancer. So Vesta turned direct back on February the 8th, 2024, and turned direct and started moving forward in Gemini. And she is retracing steps. And Vesta in Gemini is really about focus and commitment on ideas, community, on changing your perceptions and on your thoughts. And kind of, if you change your thoughts, change your life, that kind of energy. I see Vesta as the inner flame of focus and commitment. Now, incidentally, back on February the 8th, so a month before this new moon, Vesta station direct 21 degrees Gemini, so square to where this new moon is now. So Vesta is very connected with what she's learned and what she's taking forward on this new beginning new moon. Most Pisces new moon I've seen in a long, long time. Now, other things I'm going to be talking about is that Venus is pulling away from Mars now. They are not going to meet again until 2026. So Venus is going to move forward, Mars is going to trail behind, and then we have a Mars retrograde at the end of this year. And then early next year as well, we also have a Venus retrograde, but they will not catch up with each other until 2026, the divine feminine and divine masculine. And they actually met at 6 degrees Aquarius, which I did a whole video with my friend and colleague Dawn Hild called Fools and Lovers, and I'll link to that video on this podcast so you can go and watch it, because that 6 degree Aquarius mark is quite the position. Anyway, other things I'm not probably going to talk about in the podcast, but I just want to draw your attention to, is that Jupiter is now within 10 degrees of Uranus. They are going to meet in April, a conjunction of the two, and a 10 degree orb for those slower moving planets is about right. And so they're getting close. So we're heading towards this big kind of awakening conjunction that often starts some new kind of inventions or new breakthroughs and new science and new ideas, new values. You know, it's kind of quite a nice conjunction generally, but I'll be doing an interview with my friend Laurie Lothian on Lunatic Astrology channel about that conjunction, and I'm sure I'll do a video about it as well. Everybody's going to be talking about that. So but we're feeling it getting close. Now, the other thing I do want to mention is that all this Pisces energy, Saturn is still at this point 16 degrees away from Neptune. But Neptune in Pisces is, Neptune's the modern ruler of Pisces, and this is oceanic, huge energy of collective unconsciousness, whatever you want to call that, collective subconscious, creativity. It's also the amniotic fluid of creation. And so on this new moon, they are really pulled together. Saturn in Pisces has been helping us let go of any self-limiting beliefs and change our perceptions in that way. Square to Vesta in Gemini as well, and really examining our thoughts and how we perceive the world. And the new moon is in the middle of all of this. And the other asteroid here is Hygieia. Hygieia in Pisces. Hygieia is the goddess of health and hygiene. She is the holistic health asteroid. And she also has this seer quality of preventative health. What do we need to do to prevent sickness? In this case, I'm going to say soul sickness, spiritual sickness, all that kind of stuff. But it's also got the shadow, of course, and I'll talk about all of that. And then this is Nessus, Centaur Nessus. The centaurs have been so online lately, the main centaurs. At this point, we also have Ceres conjunct Pholus, the Pandora's box asteroid, kind of taking the lid off our unmet needs in society, the structures of our society, Capricorn, how they don't support us. But also we've got this Chiron North Node conjunction that is still together, still within 2 degrees exactly on this new moon, saying stand up for yourself, no more kind of playing nice for the sake of playing nice, no longer giving your I am strength away for others, and not coming in an aggressive way, but standing very tall, that I am essence, the self. Aries is really that self, you know, that's buried deep inside, beneath all these protection mechanisms and things that we put up, and these walls and these beliefs. Okay, so this time again, I keep saying it is very powerful. So I'm going to talk about all of this. I'll mention that Black Moon Lilith is opposing this new moon, and she is probably bringing up a lot of collective shame. And I think it's collective, and I'll tell you why. But first of all, okay, I'm going to stop the share so you don't just get too tied up in what's going on in the charts. But I do want to talk about, as usual, the numerology. So this is 20 degrees Pisces, and 20 really is a number that intensifies the original number. The zero intensifies the two. So two is a very sensitive and passionate number, and 20 can be highly emotional. So the 22 is very much about creating security and companionship in many ways as well. But it's a very sensual number. It's very emotional, very connected, very artistic, very creative. But it's extremely sensitive. This is a really sensitive new moon for many reasons. Not only will we be in the dark of the moon, but we are in this sensitive 2 and 20 vibration. So there's going to be an awful lot of, let's say, what should we call it for this new moon? You know, the empathy is going to be high. People are going to be kind of, their hearts are going to be bleeding for the state of suffering in the world. It's just going to be so heightened. And add in the conjunction, well, no, I'll get back to that in a minute, but just know that this 20 vibration is really, really emotional. It's also a number that tends to crave harmony and love, like that agape type of love. Like, why can't we just all love each other and tears flowing down your face, all right? But it's also got that energy in Pisces here of being so connected with the collective unconscious and the pain and suffering of the world, that as we get closer to this new moon on March the 10th, you're likely to feel yourself, you know, crying at, you know, an advert for an animal that needs adopting, or what's going on in the wars in the world and all the bombings and the tragedies. But, you know, it's useful to know that you need to have some protective mechanism consciously during this new moon, that you're going to be so super sensitive that it's okay to feel all these feelings, but don't kind of sit in this victim mode of we're all doomed kind of energy, because there are some answers to it, and how, you know, there is a way forward, but you are kind of meant to feel these feelings. And any creative pursuits in around the new moon in the 3-day dark period around March the 10th will help you to kind of process these feelings, or do stream of consciousness writing to get all this feeling out of your system and onto the page so you can process it. Okay, so that's it for the numbers. Right, so I'm going to talk about Nessus first of all. Centaur Nessus is only 3 degrees away from this new moon, less than actually, because he's almost at 18 degrees. And Nessus is opposing Black Moon Lilith over there in Virgo. Now, Nessus is really about generational kind of pain and collective pain and trauma. Nessus has been really online for quite a while, but on this new moon, he's very much online. There's a lot going on there with Nessus coming up about bringing up both personal experiences of trauma, but also that vibe of the collective trauma. Like, what are we doing to each other? Now, Nessus really is a very strange object. His orbit lasts 123 years. It's highly elliptical, and he orbits between Saturn and Pluto, but he doesn't get close to any planets, unlike the other centaurs that kind of get close or cross the orbits. Melanie Reinhardt interprets Nessus' aloofness in these terms. She says, the Nessus process is one that is perhaps not meant to be enacted or put into material form, but rather acts as a transformer or purifier, linking the energies of Saturn and Pluto. Now, there's a lot more I could say about Nessus, but really, I see the rise of Nessus and the rise of Nessus being online, as it were, since Neptune has been in Pisces and now Saturn is approaching Nessus, and we've had a lot of aspects to Nessus of the rise of the work of people like Dr. Gabor Mate, of the rise of epigenetics and trauma and health. If you want more information about that, there's The Wisdom of Trauma, that Gabor Mate, a movie based on some of his work, also, and The Myth of Trauma, his book, is amazing. It's a wide-ranging book. He talks about how living in this toxic society is literally traumatic. So we're not only feeling any personal traumas, ancestral, decades-long, centuries-long trauma coming to the fore with Nessus being online. We are also feeling that collectively, like, you know, the situation in the Middle East. That's a centuries-old conflict that's come up again, and it's traumas that have been built up over and over. However, the good thing is that Nessus seems to be bringing them to the fore to be healed. So people like Gabor Mate are bringing up their compassionate inquiry approach, which has been really helpful to address these traumas. Then there's also the internal family systems. There's the work with psychedelic therapies, psychedelic assisted therapies, let's call it. There's all those kind of things. There's EMDR therapies. All these things are helping us process. I don't know about you personally, but things like, I lived in a war zone when I was a teenager. I lived in Northern Ireland, where the Catholics and the Protestants, or the British and the Irish, were, you know, killing each other, basically. And this has all come back while this has all been online. And, you know, whereas I had been like, well, you know, it made me resilient, it made me tough, it made me this, it made me that, I'd never really settled in and acknowledged the effect on health that these traumatic incidents and our generational traumas really are bringing. And Gabor Mate's health work, and there's others, of course, but many of us know him, is pretty groundbreaking in terms of what living in with carrying this ancestral trauma has done to many of us. Okay. And, you know, you could say there's perhaps, a lot of the rise in a lot of the conditions that we have collectively health-wise are because of how we are reacting and responding to this collective trauma that's really up in our face, right? Okay. So I'm not going to go on. You can go and read Gabor Mate's book. But this really is what Nessus is about. And in the dark of this moon, we are going to feel this intimately. So not only do we have the 2 or the 20 degrees mark, that number that's highly emotional, we're going to feel all this pain. So I want to tell you a little bit about Nessus myth, so you can get a little bit more kind of feeling for him. So Nessus was one of the centaurs from Mount Pelion in Greece. He was involved in battle between the Lapiths and the centaurs, which was a major theme in Greek art or Athenian art. And there was the Battle of the Parthenon that explained the myth and the rape of Lapith women, all that kind of stuff. It's quite gory. But after the battle, Nessus fled to the Avinos River in western Greece and acted as a ferryman, where he met Hercules, or Heracles, A meeting Nessus is the beginning of the end for Heracles' hero's journey. Heracles had a lot of past karma with the centaurs. Heracles needed Nessus to ferry his wife across the river, and Heracles was tough enough to ford the river on his own, but his wife couldn't. But while Nessus was carrying her across the river, he actually tried to rape her. And Heracles, in turn, shot an arrow that killed Nessus because the centaurs were quite, raucous kind of creatures, generally, shall we say. But here's where the myth turned into a complicated tale of retributive betrayal and violence. Heracles' wife, Deianira, was pissed off at Heracles for having an affair with a younger woman. And so, he didn't like Nessus trying to rape his wife, Heracles, but he had also, had an affair. And Nessus, while dying, gives some of his blood to Deianira and tells her to use it as a love potion to stop Heracles philandering. Deianira puts the centaur blood on a garment and packs it with Heracles' belongings as he goes off to celebrate his triumphs. At some point after Heracles departed Deianira, she realized that what the centaur's deception was, that the love potion is actually poison, and Pisces can be related to poison, right? Because it's victimhood, it's feeling like a victim, it's what poisons us, it's our fears that poison us. Okay, so this is how this is showing up now. But Deianira cannot reach Heracles to warn him. So Heracles donned the poison garment and died a long, tortured, rage-filled death. But he gets taken in by the gods after death. So, he becomes immortal and all that. So anyway, looked after by the gods. But in the post-classical world, this story, or the story of the shirt of Nessus, has become a folklore motif and a literary symbol for being slowly wounded or poisoned by a hoped-for outcome of expectation, or being poisoned by something that's already there. So what that might bring up in this, and to my mind for this new moon, is that what's being brought up to the fore in the dark of this new moon is what is poisoning our society, what is killing us, and I'm talking in terms of, all the wars, how we treat the earth, how we live with each other, the food we eat, all those kind of things. I think this is going to be really coming to a fore on this new moon and as we move forward into eclipse season. Now, add in the other side of the new moon, we have Hygeia, preventative health. What can we do to change this? How can we change this, and how we can prevent these poisons kind of killing us collectively? How can we, all the poisons, our fears, our individual fears, all that kind of thing. Whew. And then we have Neptune. Of course, Neptune's conjunct this new moon, which is making it even more kind of collective and even more emotional. But the answer is through our connection with source and spirit within, and knowing it's within. Knowing that how it works in us or through us, or whatever your energy of the divine is, and also knowing that Pisces, this much Pisces energy, is the amniotic fluid of chaos and rebirth. Okay, and we are moving into eclipses that will be in Libra and Aries. And Aries is the first sign, so it's a new start. So, in many ways, this new moon is a cleansing, a purging. It's saying this is what we need to cleanse, this is what we need to let go of, this is what we need to do to prevent and to prevent all these poisons kind of killing us, to prevent that jacket killing us. Okay. Now Saturn's there behind, going create new boundaries after letting go of all these self-limiting beliefs and create new healthy boundaries. I can see this building personally in my own healing journey about letting go of, you know, old themes of trauma, shame, vulnerability, but also the physical body, the health, cleansing my diet, eating a healthier diet, letting go of a lot of old, I need to have, you know, a few beers to have a lot of fun. This was me when I was younger. I was brought up in the UK, clearly, where, you know, everybody goes out at the weekend and goes on the piss, as they say, you know, and we used to do that. And now I don't need that anymore. It doesn't make me feel good. It feels like it's poisoning me. It's this clearing out and cleansing and changing your perceptions and points of view about what's toxic and poisoning. And this is going to be happening at an individual and a collective level. Now then, this is Pisces. So Neptune, the modern ruler, is in Pisces. So we've got this very Neptunian kind of energy. It's oceanic, lots of feelings, big, but also big creativity, big cleansing. It's water, it's washing away. It's like a big tidal wave of clearing. But then Jupiter is the traditional ruler of the sign of Pisces. And Jupiter's in Taurus, which is the sign of the body, it's the sign of our values, it's the sign of our money, it's the sign of nature. It's the most earthly sign. It's the sign, Taurus is the sign connected with all our senses, earthly senses. Okay, so, you know, sight, hearing, taste, touch, smell, all of those things. Jupiter as the co-ruler really of this new moon and of all this Pisces energy is saying expand your connection with the body, with the senses, with the earth. Learn to kind of eat foods that smell good and make you feel good again, and learn not to eat those things that just don't feel make you feel good. Start tuning into what makes you feel good. Now, that's just me talking about food, but this is all what makes you feel good touch-wise. What makes you feel good in your values? Are you living by good, strong values? Talking about Taurus being related to the energy of money. You know, what makes you feel supported and grounded and rooted? And do you really need to fight for any more? You know, this is really about getting rooted, which is actually, incidentally, my word for the year. So Taurus is that very rooted energy. So even though we've got this cleansing and purging and also reaching for your dreams kind of energy, because it's so Piscean and creative, it's more in the energy of what you really want to create here in the physical realm. This is not about, going off to a heaven or whatever. This is about Jupiter in Taurus saying, get connected with body, change how you see, build up this very grounded life that's based on these core values. Now, examples of core values are like your family might be really important to you, so you might do everything for your family. I'm generally talking about the nuclear family, your own little section of family. But then also it could be around your values around money. Do you need enough, or you just need more than a little bit more than enough? Or do you really want to have, you know, all these riches and things like that? So it's very much about material values too. So you can look at core values, but this is really about getting clear on what you're birthing, especially as we move into Aries and Libra eclipse season. Mercury is already at zero Aries, so he's got us thinking about where we're going for this new start. But this new moon is, the darker the moon, ready for a new start, but it's clearing, purging, 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 purging ideas, purging some of the dreams you thought you wanted that maybe you don't want anymore, purging poisons, purging fears, purging toxicity, purging some of that ancestral, collective and personal traumas that you don't that don't need to hold you anymore. Let them go, let them go, let them go. They were existed, but you can literally kind of reprogram and reframe your way of looking things to create something new. Now then, I think that's it. I think that's all I want to say for this new moon. The opposition to Black Moon Lilith in Virgo is going to be definitely kind of about purging some areas of shame and vulnerability. And in Virgo, it's really about the physical as well. So there could be a lot here about purging some physical kind of ailments, even ready to kind of start anew. Again, you probably need to go and do the work. You probably need to go and, study Gabor Maté's work or start a therapeutic healing journey, a creative journey. I'm actually thinking of running the artist's way again, astrology style, if I have time. But it's about letting go and stopping, purging, passing these traumas on into our family and collective consciousness. Okay. And then becoming self-actualized, the Aries. All right. So it's tough material. Okay. All of this is tough material. Things that might come up, are how we coerce each other, how we are vengeful. There's all that retribution kind of energy, how we hurt each other, how we poison each other, how we poison ourselves. So it's a pretty big new moon, to be quite honest. So, okay, let me just tune into the chart, see if there's anything else I want to talk about. I don't think there is. I feel the urge to pick another card because this is kind of heavy, and then I'm going to read the symbols for you, and then I'm going to get this uploaded because I think it's going to take quite a lot of processing here. So I am going to post a link to the unedited transcript of this podcast as well if you want to download that and read and maybe highlight some bits because there's a lot to take in. And if you have anything, literally around 20 degrees, particularly of the mutable signs. So, Gemini, Virgo, Sagittarius, and Pisces, there's going to be a huge purging, but really 20 degrees of almost any sign. And I'm going to give that quite a white orb because of Saturn and Pisces. So, really, if you have anything in the mutable signs, this is going to be a huge shift and a huge purging. That would be me. So, one last card, and then I'm going to read the symbols. But please don't forget to subscribe to my channel. Give me a thumbs up, leave me a comment. Also, though, subscribe to my Substack for my daily free blogs. There is an optional paid subscription as well. And when you become a paid subscriber, you get my eternal gratitude, but you also get the blogging of my books, which are coming along very slowly. So they're quite infrequent, but you will get the shitty first drafts of my book and some more personal blog posts I probably am going to be writing as well. Substack paid subscribers will get that as well. And there may be some other little treats. But anyway, but if anything, just read my daily astro weather, which is also very detailed. Okay, here's the card. I pulled a second card, Queen of Cups, that I pulled it reversed. And the cups are emotions. Now, let me read this one to you. This says, don't let emotions cloud your mind and try not to overlook the negative behaviors of others. If you feel like you give too much and get nothing in return, it's time to reconsider your priorities and put yourself first. Your male and female energies are not in balance, and you should focus on being more rational and less sensitive. So, yeah, remember I said about how emotional this is. This is really about, you know, finding that balance and not letting that this hugely emotional time cloud your judgment again, and make you help you not see others clearly. So the affirmation for this card is, I put focus on what my mind tells me in order not to be overwhelmed by emotions. Now, helping that is the fact that Mercury, the mind, is at zero Aries. So you may have some support in thinking a little bit clearly. But one other way to process it is to do something like morning pages, you know, stream of consciousness writing, meditation, set and tune in, or shamanic journey work, and say, am I seeing this clearly, this situation, this what? If not, then maybe I need to take a step back for a while if it's so over emotional. Turning yourself into a puddle of victimhood is not going to help you on this new moon. Saturn is helping you have some boundaries around that as well. Okay, so to the symbols. The Sabian symbol for this new moon, we always go up, so we got Pisces 21, is an interesting one. It's little white lamb child and Chinese servant. And James Burgess said this is a training in optimism. He says the pleasures of soft touch and a simple smile are powerful agencies through which we learn optimism. Practice and demonstrate innocence of being. Then he says, before the mind gets involved in analysis and formulation of ideas, there is a feeling sense of what is unfolding. As we bring the mental aspect to bear upon our feelings, then what was single gets polarized, and in that moment we opt for this or that. Some opt for hope, some for resignation. Some are optimistic and some are fearful. A wise old Chinese person oversees the child as she takes comfort and joy from the simple pleasures of a lamb's cuddliness. This is not trivial. It has huge implications. The child becomes more likely to expect and choose hope and joy because she has been properly supported by good support and parenting. I don't know if I like this symbol very much. Sometimes the Sabian symbols really kind of interesting. But I'm going to read you a different interpretation before we move on to the Chandra symbol. So another interpretation is that we weave the light threads of life to form identity and vision. And it perhaps requires an unusual degree of wisdom and trust to understand that life is a limitless field of talent for self-discovery. Now, I've just had my own awareness about the Chinese so-called servant. Some of these symbols have some really interesting imagery. You know, I had an awareness about the return to kind of this the energy of Chinese medicine. Now, I'm not saying you have to go and study about Chinese medicine, but about balancing the qi and the different areas of the body, the mind, body, spirit. I can't remember what we call the three areas, and about bringing it all into balance. Perhaps this servant in this place is not like a literal servant, but it's about stepping into that energy of balance that some of the ancient cultures actually kind of new. I'll take that one in as well, because I kind of don't like a lot of this, the interpretation, or I don't like the wording. Now, there's commentary here from somebody called Emmy Owens. So she kind of is a little bit more in alignment with what I see it as. She says, this is the white lamb, the child, and the Chinese servant are the triple aspect of animal youth and wisdom, seen as random and disorderly unless personal gifts and skills are applied to create an interconnectedness between the trio within you. Okay, so this is more not about spiritual evolution, but about spiritual involution, I'm going to say. This is about bringing all of that into balance within you, your animal body, that's very centauric, your child, your inner child, your innocence, yourself, and the Chinese servant, which is wisdom in this case. I'll take that one. All right, so let's go on to the Chandra symbols and the Omega symbols for Pisces 21. So the Omega symbol is in a cold, harsh climate. A woman uses magic to create a lush garden. I like that one. So, you know, it's kind of like we're entering into this barren thing, but there is alchemy and potions to be made here. And John Sandbach says this degree is about creating one's own environment for whatever one is trying to accomplish. The forces of nature are eternal and always there when called upon, always willing to assist one if you will simply connect with them and ask for their help. At worst, this degree isolates itself in its own dream world or escaping its fears, and with whatever form of escapism is your kind of poison. But at best, it makes the dream world a reality and invites others to join in the enjoyment of it. The Chandra symbol for this degree is pagan fire worshippers dancing at night. This degree brings light into the darkness and encourages others to join in the process of doing so. It is not about to fall prey to fear, depression, or the confusion of uncertainty. Its attitude is light a fire, make up a dance, call in the clan. Even in tragedies and dark dramas, it finds something to celebrate, for it knows that inevitably the light will conquer. It also knows that both the dark and the light follow complex cycles, that both live and die and are born again. And so even in the grim and harsh times, it's expectant of sparks that will kindle new flames, providing new excuses for celebration. So, you know, it's what do you choose in this new moon? Do you, because it's quite powerfully fearful and depressive and confusing if you let yourself kind of sit in that, or do you kind of choose to tune into that energy of dancing in something new? So remember, we've got this powerful Aries new moon eclipse coming on April the 8th. So, wow. So there's going to be a lot of ghosts and fears all around. It's not the easiest new moon. Pisces energy is such interesting energy because it's the time before birth and it's the time before death as well. It's when we're releasing or when we're forming and creating. So are you going to choose creation? Or which, anyway, much love to you. Don't forget to subscribe, all the things, share it if you feel so called, and I love you, and I will see you next time.